You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian. It's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian. Tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about
Did you just promise
tonight?
That we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Welcome in, Packer Nation, to another edition of Pack to the Future podcast. As always, I'm your host, John Jameson. Man, we got a little bit of a blessing on Sunday. We'll tell you why. Oh, well, you probably already heard why. Big Mac's gone. Big time blessing. Let's go, Packer Nation. It's time to kick things into gear and get back to our winning ways. We're covering it tonight with Dusty Easley.
Hey, what's up?
Writer Thane. They are all present. We are all here. Shall we begin? Dusty, how was your week going?
It's going good, man. You know, it's super busy. But yeah, I mean, the news of McCarthy, you made me a little sad, you know, thinking back, you know, just sat there listening, I Will Remember You and looking at a picture of him. But, you know, the way this team's gone, that's kind of what we all wanted. So it's, I was surprised it happened when it did, but, it kind of put a little hop in my step, to be honest with you.
You know, I said to my buddy, Dan, I said, we were talking last week and I go, what if the Packers lose to the 2-9 Arizona Cardinals on Sunday? Does McCarthy get fired? And we sat there and we talked about it for about 3 minutes. And both came to the conclusion, it needs to happen. So, I'm no Nostradamus. I'll tell you this. I'll be the first person to tell you. But maybe that conversation kind of sparked things. I mean, right?
I think that's what it was, John, yeah. That's what pushed it over the edge.
I would like to think so. So, well, Dusty, as always, great to have you. Writer Thane, how are you?
You know, I've been all right. I got finals coming up this back half of this week and the first half of next week. So, you know, that's been pretty hectic. I've been working outside in the freezing cold.
How cold are you working in?
Okay, so we're talking like probably real feel of about 10 in the morning and then probably about 17 in the afternoon. Siding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I had to install exterior door today in about 32. So I really have nothing on you right now.
Well, you just, you know, you throw your bibs on and your coat and all your underlayers and all that, insulated boots, wool socks. And
Carhartt?
Oh, yeah. Carhartt everything, for sure.
Carhartt for life. Let's go.
For sure. Let's go.
Let's go. I love Carhartt.
I didn't get paid to say that. I just like Carhartt.
No, Carhartt is not the sponsor of this show. We do have one, though. And, Thane, why don't you go ahead and talk about this? The sponsor we got?
All right. So our sponsor this week and every week is Sioux City Jerky. Tremendous jerky. I mean, I'm very biased towards them because I know the company very well, but honestly, it's the best jerky I've ever had. Anybody I've ever sampled it with, because I'm actually an employee of Sioux City Jerky and I sell to like gas stations, grocery stores, things like that. Everybody I've ever sampled with absolutely loves it. It's great. You can order it online at SiouxCityJerky.com. Charitable company. A portion of each sale goes to Children's Miracle Network. Everything's made in the United States of America. Really just a great opportunity to buy yourself some Christmas gifts, some easy Christmas gifts that everybody's going to love as long as they're not like a vegan or a vegetarian or something like that.
Get some jerky for Christmas. Yeah. It's what Santa wants. Sioux City Beef Jerky. Get it now.
This call is being recorded.
All right, guys, I am here with a very talented, ever occurring guest here on Pact of the Future, Gina Thomas, the Falcoholics. How are you doing this? How are you doing this week?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. I was just telling Dusty before we jump, you and I jumped on. I'm like, work's been busy, but we're all good. That's the way life should be, I think. And we find ourselves playing each other again. I haven't really seen the numbers. I don't know if you have this number, Gina, but how many times have the Packers and Falcons played each other over like the last 5 years?
They played them 3 times in like a calendar year span.
Holy buckets.
Yeah, so I think that had to have been, oh gosh, I can't, because I know one would have been the NFC Championship game, and then there was a regular season game that year. And then there must have been, I guess a regular season game the year before, but somebody was saying that today, that it was 3 times in one calendar year with Dan Quinn. And so that's crazy.
And I mean, you just said his name, and I know that we've kind of had our, obviously the ultimatum came down, the hammer came down on Mike McCarthy this week. And I want to know, I mean, does Dan Quinn, is he on the hot seat at all? I mean, 1 to 10, where would you rank him on the hot seat right now?
Quinn personally is somewhere around a 2. I think that number might elevate slightly if we see the team looks as disinterested as they have for the past 4 games. Through the rest of the last 4 games remaining on the schedule, they've just looked lackluster. They look like they don't care. They look like they're not trying. Everything's running at half speed. There are plays where I'm like, I'm 5'2 and 42 years old, and I could definitely put a little bit more effort in that play than that. Like, it's a lack of effort. And so I think Quinn will have to answer for that if that continues. I think we'll definitely see a lot of turnover on the coaching staff itself, but I think that Quinn is safe. I think that he will definitely be coaching the Falcons next season.
And I just saw this before I jumped on, and I mean, this is the Falcons' like first losing season under Dan Quinn. And I mean, I know the Packers are kind of dealing with a rough season right now. And I mean, is the effort the thing? I mean, what's been the factor in this, tumultuous season that you guys are in right now?
It's been kind of a perfect storm. I mean, when you lose both starting guards, both starting safeties, your starting middle linebacker, who's kind of the heart and soul of the defense, they lost Tack McKinley, the second-year pass rusher, for a couple of games with a groin injury. Derek Shelby, another one of their edge guys, is on IR now. They just put the long snapper on IR. Like, everybody's on IR. It's crazy. It's completely insane. And so it's mainly been the injuries. I mean, the injuries are just absurd at this point. The number of key players who've gotten Devontae Freeman. Like, I didn't even get far enough down the list to mention their top tier running back is also on IR. Like, there were too many names to keep track of. So It's definitely the injuries. But then I think also the team has lost some very close games, and that's disheartening. It seems like, where they've gotten lucky breaks in previous seasons and, the ball would bounce their way. This season, that's not really happening. And Matt Ryan's having a great year. He's put up MVP caliber numbers, but it's going to kind of be a wasted season for him because of the injuries. And then I think everybody is just very disheartened by the way the season has gone. And so it's hard for them to get motivated to actually try.
And that brings us to the last question, Gina, and that is essentially, what do the Falcons need to do to win on Sunday?
I think they probably need to resort to the dark arts, because I don't think that there's anything else that's going to get this team a win in Lambeau in December, this particular team. unless they buddy up with the Saints and learn some voodoo, I do not see it happening. So, yeah, I have become very cynical about this team. I think the Super Bowl broke me.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the Packer fans that I've been talking to lately, they feel the same way. It's hard to get – when I was watching that game on Sunday, even though the playoff picture was still looming a little bit, it was one of those things where, you're watching the game and you don't feel the way that you felt back when you were watching your team play the way you know that they can play. And, it's tough to watch these games right now. But credit to everyone that does. And, for fun, do you have a score prediction?
Yeah, sure. I think the Falcons will score. You know, the offense, they've got plenty of talent, and Green Bay has had some deficiencies on defense. So I think that there are some matchups they can exploit. The last time they played it in Green Bay, they lost, but it was a close game. Like, the Falcons really battled through it and almost pulled off a win. And so I think that, you know, we're probably looking at probably, you know, like 28 to 24 Packers.
Okay. I take what I can get, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'd probably flip-flop that score around on my prediction. I just might. But Gina, it is always awesome having you. And where can we find you on Twitter and the SB, the site that you write for as well?
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Gina Thomas, J-E-A-N-N-A. I mostly tweet angry things about the Falcons and pictures of my dog. So definitely a great person to follow. I'm very entertaining. You can also find my work at The Falcoholic. And if you're so inclined and you want to check me out on TV, I do a local show on our Fox affiliate, Fox 5 Atlanta. Every Thursday it streams live. It's, you know, airs on TV, but it streams live too on the Fox 5 Atlanta website if you're interested in that sort of thing. So, and then I'm also on the Falcoholic podcast talking about the Falcons and swearing a lot, and usually because it's the easiest way to get through it. So
that is so awesome. I did not know you were doing the whole TV thing. That is awesome. It's awesome to
super
hear.
Super fun. It's a little interactive thing where I actually need to go tweet my question now. I just realized, because I haven't done it, but I ask Falcons Twitter a question and people send me their answers, and then I read the funniest ones on the air. So it's like a minute long segment, and it's super fun. I really enjoy it.
That is so awesome. I'm glad to hear that things are going well for you in Atlanta there, Gina. And again, thank you for doing this with us. And I'm sure, hopefully this is not the last time we get to do this.
Yeah, definitely not. Thanks so much for having me.
Awesome. We'll talk to you soon. Everyone, that was Gina Thomas. Go check out everything she's got going on down in the ATL. We're kicking it back to the GBP football coverage. Let's go.
Boys, we have a big time game on Sunday. By big time, I mean it's not really big time at all, because pretty much, well, some people have been mapping out the Packers' path to the playoffs here, and I don't understand why, but we have a game on Sunday. And I think the bottom line is, I think the players on this team still want to win. And at the end of the day, Thane, you got to tell me how they're going to do that.
All righty. So this week we have the Atlanta Falcons, I believe. I hope I'm not wrong about that. Anyway, against the Atlanta Falcons, as we all remember, and we've played them quite a bit in recent memory, is that Julio Jones always, always, always torches the Packers. And it has never failed to happen ever since Julio Jones has been in the league and we've played the Atlanta Falcons. So I think just to start, they need to limit what Julio Jones can do. Obviously, Julio Jones is going to get his, but just making him not a humongous factor like he has been in the past. I think that's going to be really challenging too, because it'd be kind of difficult to put Jair Alexander on him. Jair Alexander's your best cornerback, but he's also quite a bit smaller than Julio Jones. Maybe that's not the best idea. Maybe you put Kevin King on him, roll coverage that way, put Jair Alexander on Ridley or Sanu. I don't really know. Just in general, I think that the weather conditions will really help. In the past, we've played on that fast track down in Atlanta. So really, Atlanta's offense has worked well against us. Their defensive speed has worked well against us. So I guess really just slowing down Julio Jones is huge. And I think just playing inspired football coming off of the firing of Mike McCarthy and just kind of coming together and playing motivated football is really the key to winning this game.
Dude, I think anyone we got in our secondary right now is a better option than Devon House. I think last year against Julio Jones.
Or Ladarius Gunter.
Ladarius Gunter. Oh my God.
That's a trick question. They were the same player. House and Gunter were actually the same person, so that's not fair to bring them both up.
We literally just blow minds on
the House had longer hair, and Darius Gunter was a little bit slower.
Yeah, wigs. It's called wigs, buddy.
Wig. It's a wig for sure. We're debunking every Packers myth on this podcast, by the way. So that's number one. Devon House and Ladarius Gunter are the same player.
Yeah, we should just call this Packers Mythbusters and then infringe on some more copyrights.
Thane, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I'm sure I don't know what you mean.
What did I just say?
You said patented coin toss is what you said. Yeah, and that's and that's coming up later.
sorry about that.
But hey, what do you got for a score this week, bud?
Whew. You know? I'll take Joe Philbin's team in a shootout, and we're gonna go, let's see here. 37
yes.
to 30.
Yes.
Okay. I can't take credit for this, but I heard the name Joe Philbin. I kind of like it. Dusty, let's have some numbers.
Because he's filling it. He's filling it. All right. Let's do some numbers. That was not very funny, John. Stop selling that so much.
It was very dad-like.
It was very dad-like. I've got two kids now, so yeah, it's double dad. I'm trying to lean into it. I'm leaning into it a bit. All right, so when Atlanta has the ball, let's look at this. So, I mean, they do not have a good rush offense. Per Football Outsiders DVOA, they've got the 29th ranked rush offense in the league, which is good because the Packers still have a very, very bad rush defense. As we have seen, is even teams that have not great rush offenses can still rush on this team because it's a season-long stat, and they've gotten worse since Daniels has been out. So Atlanta should be able to run a little, I'd assume, but that's not really their strength. Is it going to be even in a down year, Atlanta's going to be able to throw the ball. Thane talked about Julio Jones, and I mean, even those other guys, you know, Sanu and, you know, Ridley. I've had Ridley on my fantasy team, so I know that Ridley is up and down, but when he's on, he's on. He's had a couple really good games. So they've got a good passing offense. They're eighth in the league per Football Outsiders DVOA. The Packers' rush defense, currently sitting at 20th. They've taken a bit of a dive. You know, they had a good run there, kind of sitting top 15, but they've kind of faded down the stretch here. And I mean, that's no surprise. Again, you know, Daniel's out, and suddenly the pass rush dries up a little, and those rookie corners have to hang with guys a little bit longer, and there's opening. So when Matt Ryan drops back to pass, which he should a lot in this game, he's going to be able to find holes because it's going to be fairly hard to pressure, or it's going to be fairly hard to cover these guys on the back end if they can't generate pressure. So now let's talk about some good stuff, guys, because when the Packers have the ball, they still have the fourth-ranked rush offense in the league. The Falcons right now have the 29th-ranked rush defense. But it gets better, kind of. Packers have the 10th-best passing offense, and the Falcons have the 31st-ranked passing defense. Packers should be able to do... I say should. Emphasis on should. Be able to do whatever the devil they want to do this weekend. The Falcons defense, for all of the pieces they had earlier in the season, lost so many key pieces, it's almost unfair. I kind of feel bad for them because it was like three or four key guys in that team that was building the defense around these guys, and like all of them have gone down. So that stinks for them, but it might be good for us this week. So sorry, Falcons, but I am waiting. I'm kind of waiting, like Thane said. I'll get to my score prediction in a minute I think both teams are going to be put up numbers, even though, you know, this game is going to be in Green Bay and it's going to be cold. It's going to be mid-20s. Something that also bodes well for the Packers, the Falcons are 31st in the league at generating pressure. They only generate pressure on the quarterback at 24% of dropbacks. So Rodgers should have time back there against a really bad secondary to make some plays. So that's something to look out for, whether that's big plays, medium plays, whatever. Rodgers is going to have time and the secondary is bad. So that's something really big. Another thing, all this points to big points, man. So in the red zone, the Falcons allow touchdowns on 72% of opponent drives, which is 30th in the league. The Packers, as I kind of talked about in past weeks, after starting slow, they now rank slightly above average. They're 14th in the league, scoring touchdowns on 62% of their trips into the red zone. So basically what this points to is the Packers should be able to drive, and then once they get to the red zone, the Falcons will not be able to stop them. It's very exciting. One last thing to kind of look out for here. The Falcons take shots. I'm looking at deep balls. Deep balls, kind of anything past 15 yards in the air. Most of their deep shots take place on first down. They like to go deep left. They've gone deep left and deep right are the two most. Now, they don't complete them at a high rate. Deep left around 45%, deep right around 30%. Again, this is on first down. But they do try it a lot, and they're averaging, you know, 12 yards to the left, 9 yards to the right. So the average in their completion percentage honestly does not really – I don't care too much at this point. All this number is telling me is these guys look to take shots, but when they're looking to take shots, it's predominantly on first down. So just be ready for that. Thankfully, they don't target the middle of the field too much on these. Which is good. It's not been a problem as much without Capers, but it still is a problem. But on those edges, they're going to take shots on first down, so the Packers are going to be ready for that. Again, all of this to me points to a high-scoring game. It's going to be cold, but I think both teams are going to put up points. I think both teams are going to be passing a lot. I'm going to go, Thane, you basically had the exact same score I had. So I had to work it a little bit. And what I decided to do is go a little higher. So, guys, McCarthy's gone. Philbin's in. Philbin is looking at this as if he wants to be a head coach again, he's got 4 games to kind of show what he's working with. Maybe the reins are off Rodgers a little bit. Maybe Rodgers feels a little more comfortable. Whatever the reasons, I think they're going to run wild. I'm going Packers 41-28.
Let's go.
That's right.
Let's go. I'm going to tell you this. This is the player that needs to step up. And I just started doing this a few weeks ago, so I haven't taken the time or nor just tried to do this. But Aaron, you're the player that needs to step it up. And I think the reason why I'm doing this is because it's now your time to show what you got. And 35 years old, this is a very comfortable opponent for you. In your career, 8 games against these guys. 21-3 touchdown interception ratio, 113 plus quarterback rating. You've torched these guys. Do it again on Sunday. Make us proud in a 38-24 victory. Pack. Final thoughts, Dusty.
All right, I got 3, man. So first one, we'll go cheapest ticket. I have been upset all season that we have not hit what is the best season of the year for this stuff, which is the single-digit tickets. Just shocked it had not come up. Stop. But this week it has, John. This week it has, because guess what, boys? Guess what? This week,
single digits?
We've got the New York Jets rolling into Buffalo to face the Bills. The what Bills have just released Calvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes. They're a dumpster fire of a team. And Josh Allen is starting, and Josh McCown is rolling into town, and that game is going to be $5 American.
Yeah,
$5 American to see people get maybe power bombed through tables at the pregame. Although I think they're trying to crack down on that, so maybe not. So what's the point, guys? It's actually not going to be as cold as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like 5 degrees. It's saying a high of 32 this week for that game. So that's not terrible. That's not terrible. What is terrible is this game. This game is going to be a whole ball full of terrible. But I've often said this. The only thing, one of the few things I love better or about as much as a really, really good game and a really good quarterback duel where both quarterbacks are top of their game are ones where like both quarterbacks are just abysmal. Like overshooting targets by 15 yards every drop. Looking so confident. And then firing to an area where not a single person is, and then just looking blankly down the field. That's what I love watching if I want to laugh, and that's what this game will be. So, you know, if you're up for that and you're in that area and you feel like going to see it in person, it's $5. So, guys, don't go see this game, though, probably. But we're single digits, so it's exciting.
You can't even get 2 McDoubles, a large fry, and a large Coke for that.
That's true. You don't. That is true.
I was going to make a fast food reference as well, but mine was going to be if there's no Bills Mafia stuff going on, I might as well just stay home and relax with like some Taco Bell or some Subway or something and watch the game on my TV.
Ooh, what's your Taco Bell meal?
Yeah. Me? My Taco Bell meal is cheesy gordita crunch and usually a Fritos burrito nacho. And if they've got them, It used to be the friggin' whatchamacallit, that they had the churros there for a little bit. I used to get down with a churro. Now it's usually the caramel apple empanada.
Dude, I love the Doritos Locos Tacos, but man, those shells, they break so easy. They really do. It's infuriating.
You might as well just mash them up and just eat them with a fork.
Literally, that's what I've done. That's literally what I've done.
Yeah, I just don't get them because they break so easily, and it's frustrating. So that's why I stick to soft taco burritos.
Oh my days!
Yeah, I haven't been to Taco Bell since the spring, and I don't think I'm going back because I'm so upset about the Doritos Locos Tacos breaking too easily.
Dude, I wish I had that willpower. Oh man.
I've got interrupt cows here. You are, but that was good. That was good. I'll just put that in as another final thought. Was my Taco Bell order. If someone wants to bring that to me, that'd be cool. So number two, I talked about this on Twitter this past week, and I put some pictures up. So the crazy thing is I'm sitting outside, I'm sitting in my house after the Monday night game. I'm like, I'm going to go to bed. It's 11:30. I hear a sound outside my house like a transformer has exploded. And I look out and a kid is running around. I have a brick mailbox, an all brick mailbox. And I live near a corner of a 25 mile per hour road. This 16-year-old kid plowed right through it. Knocked it 15 feet.
How fast do you think he was going?
I think he was going at least 40, 45. He told me he was going the speed limit. And I was like, dude, no, you weren't. Oh my, I don't care. Gosh. It's fine. You weren't. So yeah, he's actually been over and he's been helping. He's busting down the mailbox and he's, you know, helping get everything around. So he's been really cool about it. It was just it was a weird experience. Did he total his car? Oh, he totaled his car. He was a minivan. That sucker got totaled.
Oh my days! Is he all right?
He's fine. Miraculously, he's fine.
I guess he's crushing brick at your house, so he must be fine.
Yeah, he's doing great, man. He's doing awesome. No, he's got a broken leg, but he's still busting sick, that up. Dude. So it was super loud noise. Kind of insane. I've got one more. I'm going to try to make it short because I got to jump off here in a minute because my daughter needs me. Guys, this weekend I'm making the trip up. Me and two brothers and a friend of mine heading up. We're going to be at the game in Green Bay. We're going to go to Green Bay, Atlanta this week. We're heading up. We're going to stay for a couple days. We're going to see the sights. We're going to freeze our tails off during the game, and we're hopefully going to see a blowout Packers win. So cool. I'm very, very excited. You know, we went up to that game last year, but the PTTF crew, that was the Saints game. That was Hundley's first start, and that was ugly. But the last Rodgers start I went to was 2014 Packers-Patriots in Lambeau. So I'm carrying some good juju with me. I'm carrying that forward. I think it bodes well for this week. So yeah, I'm excited to be there. I could not be more excited to be up in Green Bay again. So if anyone is up there and sees me or recognizes my voice or whatever, which you won't, say hey, because I'll be around. But that's all for my final thoughts. You can find me on Twitter at Dust Evely or All22 Talk is my other one. And I'm gonna jump off here, boys. I'll catch you on the other side.
Jealous, Dusty Evely. Thank you, brother.
You bet.
And Dane. What do we got here, brother?
Well, for starters, I'd just like to start out by saying that beef jerky, Sioux City beef jerky, has less than 100 calories and more than 5 grams of protein per serving. You can buy it at SiouxCityJerky.com. I don't have a promo code, unfortunately, but you can buy Tundra Teriyaki, popular amongst Vikings fans. Should be popular amongst Packers fans as well. It could be popular amongst you if you go on to SiouxCityJerky.com and order yourself some. SiouxCityJerky.com. A taste above, I believe, is the slogan. I have to get that right. Anyway.
It sounded beautiful.
Fantastic. Other than that, I haven't thought a lot about the Packers this week, I'll be honest. It's just sour taste in my mouth after that loss, for sure. But I'd love to see a win against against the Falcons, because the Falcons have torched us time and time again. It's time to get our revenge game in on our home field in the cold instead of playing in Atlanta on the fast track where they beat us every time. So let's go out there and let's get this win. Let's buy some beef jerky. Let's eat some beef jerky, be healthy, and be happy.
You on Twitter for sure. Multiple Twitters.
Okay, so Twitter number one is at Track on Pack. That's where you'll find my articles, polls, different lukewarm takes of mine. In addition to that, I have at Worst Pack Takes. That is Worst Packers Takes. It's an account that I created a little over a year ago that basically just features the worst takes about the Packers on the internet. Doesn't matter if it's a Packers fan or not. Usually it is a Packers fan. Sometimes they're on Facebook. Sometimes they're on Twitter. Usually I stay away from the Facebook ones because they're so, so bad and they're riddled with so, so many spelling errors. But yeah, so followers Pack Takes, if you want some enjoyment. I know I enjoy seeing all of them, all of the bad takes coming. So.
Yes. Oh, dude, it's so freaking amazing. I love that Twitter. And follow that, please, everyone. It is high entertainment. And I just got, you know, my Wisconsin sports going on. And I saw this tweet. Alex Broder, he's a writer for the Milwaukee Bucks. He said, Bucks are pretty good at defense. Why? For one thing, they're top three in the league in things like defensive rebound percentage, fewest second chance points allowed, fewest points allowed in the paint, and fewest fast break points allowed. Top three in the league in all those things. That's going to give you a solid D. We already have a solid offense, and Giannis is going to continue to only get better. What I've seen from Connaughton, oh my goodness gracious, the kid looks like a freak. So just continuing the success of this team is just so exciting to watch. And please tune in to the game tomorrow night. Continue to support this team as hard as you guys can. And go Bucks, go. Go Pack, go. This is a big game. This is a game where we can take a team that has given us issues for a very long time and sock it to them when things feel like we're just down in the dumps. So Packers, revitalize us. Get us juiced up again. I know I'm going to be juiced up for the game. I hope you are too. We are Pack to the Future. Go, Pack, go. Find me on Twitter at John Jameson. Bye.